Okay. So, let's get started and just discussing. I really want to spend our time this evening chanting. Yeah, we've already done a lot of it. We're going to do a lot more. You will find after you do a lot of chanting, like a whole weekend of this, you are in a whole different place in your body. And so this book is really a just an intro to all of the possible sort of qualities, levels, all that stuff that's available to you through recognizing the primary part of who and what you are. So tell me, what did you come up with from the book? What were some elements? Anybody? Yes.
I love the color.
Color.
I open that book, I always went to the section on color.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Right? So all the meanings of it, like all the information about it, how it affects you, like how it can help you.
Right. So colors, so we had colors. And we're going to be doing some color. One of the interesting parts of the color for you as a healer is that you want to start recognizing what colors go with each of the chakras. And what contrary color... Okay, complementary color goes with that. Because you may get someone, you may have someone's feeling, boy, I was seeing this red or I was seeing this magenta color, you know, and I was having a feeling back here in the back of my, back of my neck. And the zeal point is magenta and it's back of the neck. You'll often have people when they have sort of like a, oh, I get it. They'll have like this huge jolt of magenta that they'll see, they'll perceive it. Whenever I am about to have a major sort of revelation come through me when I'm meditating, I always see that color right in my third eye. It's just like this huge ball. And now I'm just like, okay, download me. Because it's always the opening of the gestalt. It's the, oh my God, that's real. That's now I get it. So there was something that I couldn't process before that moment that just came together and unified. And then I experience it, first. And then the understanding comes second. And that's really how life is. You experience life first and you should think second. We don't do that. And next week, next class, when we're doing the sixth and seventh chakra, we'll talk a lot about how the mind really has taken over the other systems, and it really isn't mature enough to do that. Our body is incredibly mature around its ability to sense and feel and come into resonance with life and be part of life. Our mind is really a dissociative process right now that keeps us from actually connecting. It's our mind that actually makes us feel isolated. Our body is constantly connecting. Our field is constantly saying, come on, we're in this with all these cruel people, this great universe, this incredible planet. And our brain's saying, I don't think so. I don't have the car I like. I've got a problem. I've got, you know, it's thinking of all these things keeping you separate rather than coming into the resonance of life. So, what else you got? Color was awesome in there. So yes, that's a great resource for that. Yeah.
I'm surprised to find that color and sound are
related.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like two different things.
Yeah. So color and sound are the same thing. There's a lot of schools out there about on this. Because I teach the chakras, we teach the normal scale C D E F G A and B. As the major chakras, we're going to be going over that tonight and chanting with those, and theoretically, this is in theory. I've talked to some physicists that are like, I don't know if that pans out. Theoretically, if you take a C note, okay, which is I don't have it here. Let's say we take a C sharp note, okay, which is going to be sort of almost like a browner red, okay, and you now that's. That's the octave of sound, okay? So we're able to, we might as well talk about what we're able to perceive. We're only able to perceive three basic elements. Now, we can also experience some higher spiritual levels, but basically we can experience three levels of consciousness through the human body. Our nervous system is toned to feel solid matter, which is a vibration. It's a constant vibration. It's so constant, it's so fast, it looks solid. This wall is just a beehive of trillions of molecules and atoms and particles whipping in and out of existence. But because they do it so intensely, it looks solid to us. Now, we're not able to perceive deeper than that, but we can perceive solid. And we can perceive light. We know the lights are on. We watch the light bounce off of that wall and off of these people. And as it does that, it helps us define them, okay, and their form, and gives us things to think about. Okay? But the octave of solid matter is very low. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't know how many hertz. It's, you know, 5 hertz or something, 7 hertz. I think the Earth resonates at like 7 hertz. A light is literally like 50 octaves above that. Okay? But just above Earth is sound. At like, you know, 15 octaves to, what, not octaves, what's the, it's like, so we get up in the 20 hertz, you know, 18 hertz, we're just able to begin to hear that low tone, and then we have like this really finite range of sound that we can hear, okay? You know, dogs, of course, can hear more, a little higher, but really it's a very finite range. And so we have Earth we can understand, this tiny, so if we have a, here, if you have a range here, and we have an extra page? Oh, we have an extra page. Okay. So here's a continuum. You know, if you think about it, here is, 8 hertz. That's Earth. And then just up from that, like in the, you know, 18, maybe, and I think we can hear up to, what?
I thought it was 3750 hertz.
The what?
It was like 3750 hertz.
What, the first thing we can hear?
No, the highest.
The highest, yeah. So the highest, yes, would be up in the. I was going to say 250, but three. So something up in the 300s. Okay, so we're, and really 300s is here. Okay, and then way up here is light. Okay. Now the theory is, and the theory that we work on with chakra work is that if we take red here in a sound and we raise it an octave, another octave, another octave, another octave, and we bring it all the way up to the vibration of light, that sound, okay, all right, the note of C, which we call red, which is the first chakra, okay, the note of C, here, we hear it as note of C. If we take that C, we go up octave after octave after octave, we bring it all the way up here, that then is red. Okay, and so if you could perceive it, now because I said it, I have to get the bowl. Here we go. If you could perceive it, if you had the capacity to do to the perception, okay, when I play this bowl, pure red is pouring out of that bowl. Okay. Now, I've probably run these bowls through 10,000 people. And the consistency that people will say, I'm experiencing red. I'm experiencing my body. I'm feeling solid. I'm feeling this sense of presence when I play the first chakra bowl is very high. So, my experience of these colors is true. I don't have any way to prove that that is actually the way it goes, but the vibration, the whole theory of what we're teaching you here is that red and the note of C are a team. I don't know how they're a team, but they are a team. The first chakra, and understand that the chakras were created 10,000 years ago. Nobody had any little instruments going, I think that's the 700th octave. You know, they were perceiving these energy centers, and they perceived the first chakra as red. So they recognized it as red. They were perceiving these chakras, and it goes along. And for me, sound is a really important element of how we learned how to speak, know ourselves, feel ourselves. Many of you use music constantly to keep reminding yourself you've had a bad day, you've had something going on, you're out in the world where there's all kinds of dissonant frequencies, people with crazy voices, you're all off. What do? You come home, you put on some music. Music realigns you with what you with your natural harmony. So you find music that has a tiny, and a song, a popular song, is like the tiniest little snippet of a symphony. But it's good. And it'll have within it a few of your favorite notes. Okay? And the way they play off each other, you love music because you already resonate with that music. You don't like other music that you don't have the chakras open to experience. Okay? All right? So then when we play music that we like, what it does is it reminds us, oh yeah, that's me. Whew, and you just relax all of a sudden. So when your body's in resonance, when it's in harmony, it relaxes. And so, but when we're talking about light and sound, that's what she's talking about. Does everybody sort of understand that now? That's the theory. I can't prove that this is right. And if there were physicists in there, they'd probably go, well, we don't even know. You know? So, but generally, yes.
NASA just recorded a sound of light emanating from quasars.
Yep.
I don't know if you do that, but.
It's of course, every vibration, I mean, if you think about it,
it's all frequency.
Light has to have a sound. Okay, you dumb it down, all the way down to the audible range, and you take that frequency down. You bring it down enough octaves, it'll make a noise. Thank you for bringing that up. I don't know if she discusses it in the book, but there's much of the symphonic music and much of the motivation of the Beethovens and the genius. Musicians were the resonance and the notes of the spheres. They were able to literally hear the stars. They heard the stars, and then they wrote it down and played it. So we can be, and we have the capacity to do this. We have not trained it. It's we are probably like we said, we're just crawling, folks. We're still in the caterpillar. We're still going, boy, I'm going to make this caterpillar good. Eventually, we're going to turn into butterflies, and we are going to live fully in this whole, really use all of it. And this is what we're beginning here with you all, is really sort of looking at, what would it be like to own all of us? Well, it's a vibration. So everything is a vibration. Everything you can, I have some painful crystal music, which this guy Oldfield took crystals and ran the computers through these crystals, and the crystals have sounds, but they sound like, Elaine, you would not like these at all. It's just like, it's like this incredibly high-pitched sound. But luckily the crystal bowls, on the other hand, are created so that we can connect with them. These have an incredible intention to awaken human beings. Okay, they are on the planet to wake us up to this. Okay, and Amy had asked a question, and I'll answer that. She said, "Well, what's the difference between crystal bowls and Tibetan bowls? The material that they're made of, right? Duh. Okay. Okay, that's it. That's all there is the difference. No. So why don't I use Tibetan bowls?
What are they made out of?
They're made out of metal. Crystal and metal. Tibetan bowls, cymbals, and there are lots of instruments in the world. Okay, wood instruments, metal instruments. But Tibetan bowls resonate with metal creatures. Crystal bowls resonate with crystal creatures. We're made of water.
What are those guys made?
Well, Tony's made of metal, but the rest of us are.
So is it cultural or?
No. We're all made of water.
Yeah.
We're all made of water. Water is a liquid crystal. We are 100% crystal. Everything about us is crystal. Our bones are crystalline. Everything in our body is made of a crystal of some form.
On a molecular level?
At every level, yes. The way our molecules come together, the way our body comes together, and the water itself is a crystal. Okay? And we are, 90% water? Okay. And when a crystal ball plays, it brings all liquids into harmony. Because it's made of the same, it vibrates, it will resonate with that. Metal, on the other hand, is the next, to me, my experience of it, is that metal hits the next octave up. So picture that all the crystal balls hit us. Just imagine, when we're talking about sound here, that the human aura is one perfect full octave. Okay? That's why we're all pretty similar when it comes to how big we are, you know, how, you know, what we are capable of doing. We all fit within this octave of sound. Okay? Only on TV are the Transformers, you know, they would get healed through metallic bowls. Now, I'm not saying that metal bowls can't heal you. They can, but they're going to be coming down an octave to do it. They're much more spiritual. If you'll notice that when you listen to Tibetan bowls, you will tend to leave your body a lot more. And that's why most people like them better than crystal bowls. Because when a crystal bowl sounds, it is a pure sine wave. She talked about that in the book. Okay? A sine wave is the same wave that if I had my car lock, starter here, remote control, my lock, right, my lock opener. And I clicked it from here. We're going to end about 10 after 8, and then we're going to do this. Okay, so this will take, we want to get through. So if I click this from here, it'll go right through the solid matter and go out and do the car, right? So a sine wave does not stop at solid matter. Okay, a pure wave, a pure sine wave goes right through solid matter. These bowls produce pure sine waves. They go right through you. And anything that is crystalline in structure, which would be your bones, okay, any chamber within you, lungs, throat, ear canals, anything that can vibrate and has that same crystalline structure will begin to vibrate with it. And when it does that, you create a feeling. That's why when I play the bowls, you have a feeling. And it has nothing to, you're just like, why would I have that feeling when that dumb bowl played? Well, as you learn more about what that bowl is, what chakra that was, you'll understand a lot more why you had that feeling. And that's one of the tools that you're going to be given this weekend as a healer. We're going to be giving you crystal bowls to work with and do healings with, which we do each week. But this weekend, you're going to be really specific to doing that, and also finding your own tone. Okay, what else did you get from the book? Yes?
Structured water and how it's measurable when they play the bowls and change the molecules in the water.
Right. So that was just what we were talking about, structured water. If you put, and what we'll do is at the end of the weekend, I'll try to remind you, but maybe one of the good rule keepers can do this for me. Get, when you're out at lunch, get a bottle of water, okay? And the last thing that we're going to do is we're going to do the group chant to all the bottles of water in the middle of the room, okay? And we're going to bring into that water the group, okay? Now, any other water that you pour that into from then on will turn into that vibration. So you can make that last right through until the next class if you want, just by adding it to like a 3-gallon thing of water, or, you know, if you've got a cup of it left, pour it into a full bottle of water. Okay? That will bring that into resonance. Okay? And you can drink your group.
Just pure water.
Okay, what else? Was there anything else? Yes?
Same thing as cymatics. Cymatics, where they the big plates of sand, and they play the different.
Right. So if you put, if you have a metal plate,
yeah.
like a or a speaker, and you put sand on it, and it plays a note, it'll create a mandala. Okay, it'll show you these beautiful, sound itself is a beautiful, pure, sort of artistic, movement. Okay, that's why pure sound, when you hear it, when you hear somebody, I have to admit something. I've been watching American Idol. And I've absolutely been loving it. I mean, these people this year, I watched a little bit last year, these people this year are absolutely incredible. Every one of them, there's not one person that deserves to go off that show. They are all American Idols as far as I'm concerned. And when you hear somebody that really, really knows how to sing, really knows how to carry a song, a song that maybe they do even better than the original artist. Because they add this new quality, their own personal quality to it. It's just incredible to see for me. But I always saw that in athletics. That's why I played tennis. That's why I did martial arts, because I always saw that rhythm, that aliveness, that soul quality in movement. I could hear people playing tennis. I've always been auditory. When I first started doing healing work down at IHOS, I could hear this high pitched. I always hear the earth's vibration is this high pitched sound. Okay, and each person has a different sort of spiritual sound, and your ability to hear that. And so I was able to sort of sense why am I drawn to this chakra? Well, because I'm hearing sound. That chakra feels it doesn't. It's out of resonance. Okay, and the field is very high pitched sound. It's very, I mean, it's it, it the actual field isn't making a whole lot of noise. Okay, because it's a much higher pitched sound. How many of you, before something happens, do you occasionally get like your ears start ringing before something comes in, before you get like I should have done this, I forgot. Yeah, that's guidance. That's often your angels talk in a speak that is guides talk in a vibration that's way higher than you can hear. That way you don't get confused by it. It just goes right in. Okay? So when your ears start ringing, don't just assume you have tinnitus, okay? All right. And psychics are constantly, oh geez. Okay, what else? Anything else from the book? All right. Got a couple of, let me just see what we covered here. This book, by the way, is, if you want to understand energy medicine, okay, really read this book. I'm glad a number of you in homework said you really enjoyed the book. I've had, years where people are like, well, it's such junk, why do I have to read this crap? And it's because it's really important for you to understand that, as we were saying before, we can feel physical, okay, and we can see light, but most of what our life experiences are the emotions. You will heal through the vibration of emotion, of passion, of aliveness, more than any other level. You can feel colors. When I play the bowls, I'll ask people, what did you feel? And they'll say, well, I really didn't. And I'm like, and I said, don't forget, you can feel a color. Oh, well, yeah, I really felt like there was red there. I didn't see red. I don't really see colors. But if I had to name that, it would have been red, or it would have been blue. So you're perceiving these things at lots of different levels. Elaine?
Excuse me. That book is out of print, and a lot of people can't get a hold of it. Is there a book comparable to that that people can read? That, read more of and get more information from?
I got three.
It is out of print. It is out of print currently. The people that make the bowls, she died. Brody died, and the people that make the bowls bought the rights to the book, and it will be back out again hopefully soon.
But how about other books just to read further?
You're gonna read one next year called which is also out of print, called the Roar of Silence. Start hunting for it now. But it's by the same author that wrote The Mozart Effect. The Mozart Effect is an excellent book. But The Roar of Silence really talks about what we're doing, which is really understanding the mechanics of how sound transforms you. Okay. Atlantean in nature. They found crystal bowls in the pyramids. They found all sorts of cool stuff from the Atlantean culture, and they found that all of the Atlanteans basically were the first level of truly conscious Homo sapien. They were the ones who started the Homo sapien. Probably were even a better breed, but they then moved out into the world and went down to Mexico. You know, they moved to South America. They moved to the Celtic, the pyramids. They what they found is they found levels of and types of sound healing equipment that they used to transform the body. And one was crystal bowls. And I don't know how they made them, because these things have to be to make a crystal bowl is these melt at over 2,000 degrees. So not sure how they made them, but they did it. They figured it out, and they used them for healing, because and surgeries and all kinds of amazing things they used sound for. So just before we got really smart, we knew what we were made of, and we worked with that primarily. Of course, by getting really smart, we also have antibiotics. We've got drugs. We live a lot longer, but I don't know how much happier we are. So by dealing with your vibrational issues, you're going to deal with your presence and your quality of life. We did that, the three levels of consciousness. We talked about humans as crystalline structures. Body is an instrument, and bowls affecting the spine directly. Think about your spine as being a tuning fork. Okay, she talked about that in the book. Think about your spine being a tuning fork, and each vertebrae literally connects to different parts of the nervous system. When a sound like my voice hits you, it's going to affect you depending upon what the intention is within it. So we'll also talk about intention here. Okay, but your body literally feels me more than you hear me. Okay, you can know just by somebody's voice whether they're safe or not, whether what quality they have within them, because you feel them first. All right, we're taught that we hear through our ears only, and so we are done a great disservice. We actually hear primarily through our bones. The bone structure is your primary way that you hear. You feel, you have a presence. When you feel someone's presence, you're literally feeling it in your core, in the bones. And then that presence, that vibration, then can bring all of the other levels of you back into alignment. If you're with someone who's holding a higher vibrational presence, your system then responds to that and comes back into that. So lastly, we're gonna talk about intention. So what is intention? What did she talk about with intention in there? And the voice and sound? Anything? Anybody remember that? When I'm speaking right now, okay, I'm speaking English. Our fifth chakras are all programmed. We talk about each of the chakras is a program. We learn different programs within there. We're programmed in English, all of us. Okay? How many of you speak another language? Okay. Those that speak another language, it was just in the news that that you're more intelligent than we are. people that are bilingual, they're showing are more intelligent. It just opens you up to another whole channel of energy, and of course that'll broaden your life experience. But intention is really an important thing to understand. And it's what when you go to a healer or when you talk in class, and we say, okay, what's behind that? What we heard was your intention. Okay? We heard what's behind what you thought you were saying. There's a deeper intention. There's a deeper need, a deeper calling. And when you can consciously put your intention into your words, you can consciously connect to other people, and they will hear you. Okay? Our problem is often our intention is to get loved. It's one of our primary needs. And when someone says, here, let me help you with that. You say, no, I'm fine. No, but we can feel, it's like, or when you were chanting out there, you open your eyes, you're like, you open your eyes, you're feeling really good, you open your eyes, you're like, ooh. You know, it's like, oh God, as you're like, pegged open, like, oh geez, they're looking at me. But we know, we could tell right just before that, the real intention is, I want to be loved, oh, that felt so good. But when you then open your eyes and speak, sometimes those words can't come out because of the fear. So learning to hear what's behind the words, learning to understand the intention. And so basically, so we break down what is intention, what's the quality. When I open my mouth right now, what you're hearing are my chakras. We're taught to believe that you're just hearing my two vocal cords going. But where is all that stuff coming from? My whole energy system is this huge vibrating system. Some things open, some things close, all this stuff is going on in me, my whole life purpose, everything's going on, and I have one channel to say it.
I can see that.
Okay? You see how it's working, right? It's working really good. Right? But if I got a closed center, okay, let's say my second chakra would be closed, God forbid. It would sound a lot more like this. We're going to be talking about this book, and it's a very important one. Atlanteans. Everybody seen one? Yes.
Very brave.
Very brave. Yeah. It would have no passion. It would have no nothing. It would be flat. So you can hear the chakras. You can literally hear what you are hearing, and that's why you can't lie to any of us.
And that's crazy.
Is there any question about intention? It's important to understand that you have to get in touch with your intention. Carolyn Mace, in her work, talks about you have to figure out what your motivation is for anything that you do. She's talking about what's your intention. Okay? Because if you're saying one thing and meaning something else, you're not going to get what you want in life. You have to bring your intention. Your consciousness, your intention, your feelings, they all have to come together. And you do that by working through the chakras, working through your feelings, working through your sense of self, and recognizing where you're short, where you come up short. Okay, so we are going to chant now the seven major chakras. So we're going to be sitting up all weekend for chanting. Okay, chanting is something you want to do sitting up. All right, you don't want your lungs flat on the floor. You can't expand them as much. You want to totally be up, chin up. And go. So let's get comfortable. If you need to stand up and shake out for a minute, you can do that. And then we're gonna do some chanting. You're gonna want to get your handout, your chanting handout.